KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Well, welcome to a Wednesday, a wet Thursday morning, I mean. And Lynn's got a mouthful of sausage McMuffin and coffee, so you can't even talk yet.
Thanks for buying breakfast, Neil.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping at Mickey D's for us.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Oh, I'm loving it. Sausage. Best sausage in the world, really.
Lynn, this morning my neighbor started building an ark. Should I be concerned?
I think I'm going over to see him.
Holy cow, are we getting rain?
We'll put some fish in there.
That's right, two fish.
That way this time they can, you know, survive.
Fish can't survive the flood. That's a bad deal.
Flooding everywhere.
Hey, do you know what else I heard?
What'd you hear?
It's going to freeze next week.
What?
That's what they're talking, frost late next week.
Yeah, they're always wrong on that forecast.
That means ice fishing is just around the corner.
That means ice fishing, yeah.
I get to the end of September, I start looking at the ice.
We could get right out into the middle of the Lake Oahe next week and find some ice, I'm sure.
I doubt it. We got a guy that maybe could tell us, though.
Maybe some hail.
Yeah.
We could find some small pieces of ice
coming down.
Yeah. Well, good morning to everyone. We have a guy. Just him and Trevor Deagle just seem to have a little knack for catching fish, and just happens to be they're Dakota boys.
Yeah.
I like Dakota boys.
And they can go to Minnesota and school them.
Uh-oh, that doesn't happen much, but no. It happens when these guys head over there. So we're going to have a cup of Joe and a fishing show, and we're going to talk some hunting in it.
Here we go.
Guys, mind joining? We'll come right along here with Paulie Steffens. Good morning, Paul Steffens.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing over there?
Well, there's no boring things going on here. We're going to whip it up a little bit. We're going to have some controversy before the end of this show, I'm sure.
I tell you what, for once out in our country, we have a little rain out here. It's kind of drizzly, and just kind of wet. Can't cut any silage, so it's a good day to relax at home.
You guys actually have some corn to cut for silage?
Well, we have some corn. That's why we're cutting more silage than normal, because we had a hailstorm come through the end of June that just hit the edge of our property. So a lot of our beans got zeroed out. We'll be only harvesting one pivot of beans, and the rest of them were hay baling. So
when Paulie Steffens is not running around on Lake Oahe with his guide clients, if he's not hunting pheasants with his clients in the fall, if he's not running to Cass Lake for an MWC, he's out there helping his dad and uncles with the farm. There's nothing wrong with that.
There you go.
Wrong with that. It kind of makes it feel like when you do go fishing, it makes it feel like a little vacation away from the farm. So
makes you feel a lot better. Good morning to Steve Arbogast, Glenn Hansen. Good morning to everyone else that's listening here on 1480 AM here in Watertown and KS93.
On Saturday morning.
Saturday morning at 7 a.m.
Yep-ish.
7 a.m.-ish.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, we only have a few minutes left here, right?
That's right.
So 17 minutes left in this show. We're going to try to get done before the top of the hour. We have a little habit of not quitting before the top of the hour and the news gets delayed and then people call in. And that's kind of some of the controversy, but we know what the news is about anyway.
That's right. That's because we start slow and finish poor.
There, yeah. So recently, Paul, actually just this past weekend, Trevor Deagle got on the road again and went to one of your favorite bodies of water in the whole wide world, I would guess, because success has been quite often on that lake, even though you've gotten your butt kicked once or twice.
Yeah, you know that. I would probably have to say now that is my number one top fishery to go fish a tournament at. It'd be pretty easy to say.
Mine too.
Do you think they still have the numbers of big fish in there that they were when you and Trevor were put a pretty good whacking on them with jigging wraps a few years ago? Or
I do believe there's a good number of bigger fish in there. I would say, if you historically look over at the weights over the course. years we've fished it, we've always kind of looked at it and say, what are we thinking the weight's going to be this year? You know, how's our pre-fish been? And I would say, I mean, you always kind of see these same weights year after year. And actually, technically, looking back at it, I believe this is the first year, I think we, from my understanding, we had the record last time at like 32 or 33 pounds. And Sean Coulter and his partner ended up, they had 34 or 35 pounds. So they actually, probably the biggest weight that MWC have seen since going up there.
And that's a two-day weight of a little over 17 pounds a day average. So, yeah, Sean's listening. Sean, go ahead and post a comment if you have anything to add about what you think of the fishery. I think everyone would like to see your comments, too. Very nice job on your win up there. Pauly, things have changed on Cass Lake. Adjustments have had to be made, especially when I saw you guys were using big minnows this year.
You know what? Yeah, we've been very fortunate to have a lot of luck with jigging wraps out there, and obviously word's been out in the last few years, jigging wraps, everyone's flying around the lake doing it. So it's not as easy as it used to be to catch these fish on jigging wraps because they're seeing I like to put a camera down there in some of these spots because it looks like there's a bunch of puppets going up and down, I bet. So, so you guys got to, you know, kind of look outside the box of how can I jig and wrap different than everybody else, you know. And so we actually had a good program going into the tournament. We really figured we're going to start off the day because in beautiful Minnesota, you can only use one rod a person, which drives the South Dakota boys absolutely crazy.
Up a wall.
So up
a wall without a paddle.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. But in honesty, our pre-fish was really good with wraps and using some minnows, and I did notice the wraps were out fishing minnows in pre-fish, along with Deagle when he was out pre-fishing. But I don't know what happened. It must have been the weather. You know, the front's come through kind of, but they did not. I felt they did not want wraps at all. And I think on day one, we caught a 24 and a quarter and a 17 and three quarter on wraps. And then everything was chubs, and then we never caught a fish at all on day two on a wrap.
What was the thought pattern? Were you graphing fish? Were you on top of fish and they just wouldn't hit the wrap? And
oh, yeah. You know, we sat there, and you know, a lot of times, you know, we would sit there and drive around, and I would be sitting there, like, ready to attack. So as soon as he would mark a school of fish, as Deagle was grassing, and I said, are we going to fish those ones? He said, yes, and he would spin the boat, and I would cast back.
Okay.
And I'd watch the water line, you know, kind of where the motor trail would be at, and kind of vividly put a mind where those fish were in that trail and try to cast back to it. And that's how we caught the 24 and a quarter, but that wasn't working. Every time we would both be chubbing, we'd come through a nice school of fish, and he would see him on the front of the boat first. So I would speed reel. I was running Abu Garcia rockets so I could try to get my lines in and out faster.
Yeah.
So reel up my one rod, put the chub in the live well, drop down a jigging wrap, wrap the school as we're going through them, long line out, try to get them as we get past the school, and it never worked. You know, I was busy back there, reeling up, putting down, cast there, do that, and just, it was, but it just, they didn't want it. I don't understand, and I watched guys, and it was funny. I mean, everyone else, I think, kind of, for the most part, figured it out, because we had a spot in the south end of the lake that was kind of all by ourselves, and that was our big fish spot, and that's where we caught our overs on day one. Caught one in the morning, one in the evening. But then those fish were still down there on day two, but we couldn't get them to bite. So we made an adjustment. We had some spots in the north end of the lake, which was more up there in that Buck's Bar, up in that big bar up there. Some little humps and islands up there in the north end, and it was community hole. And me and Diggle really, really don't like fishing community holes. We like to have the fish to ourselves and just try to, you know, not compete with other boats and stuff. But and that was where our nice slots were coming from.
How about?
And And no one up there. You never saw no one jigging rapping. You know, and everybody knows it. So, I mean, everyone else kind of keyed in on it. I think they kind of figured out, too, that it wasn't working for them, that it was a minnow bite, and it really was. You know, Sean got them on big minnows. We got them on, I kind of felt we had a little bit better luck on a smaller to a mid-range minnow.
4 or 5 inch minnows versus 8 inch, 7 and 8 inch minnows? Is that
I'm not real familiar with the red tails, but I don't know if red tails even get 8 inches.
I don't think they do.
I think a big red tail, I'd have to say a big red tail would be maybe 6 inches is mm-hmm. a big red tail.
Yeah.
We were using like threes and fours.
I don't know, those Glorvigan boys up there, they used to be able to find some big monsters. That was what they wanted up on Winnie.
Grow them in their stock tank.
Feeding them. So, Pauly, give us a clue on maybe possibly what has changed so much, why we're not seeing much action in Pike Bay, what's the forage like, is the, water clarity. Sean Coulter came on and said something about water clarity again, like you and I had talked about on our way into town. Give us an idea why things are changing in quite a few of our northern Minnesota lakes, and it's actually heading this way. We're not going to stop it.
Yeah, I would say what I noticed the most thing, so let's put like Pike Bay an example. Maybe I'm wrong, but just what my personal belief is, you know, you always knew the first 3 years we won the tournament out there, it's going to be one of Pike Bay. There is the fish weigh a half a pound heavier than the fish in the main lake, and they did. They were just, but you went into Pike Bay when we first started fishing them years, and it was from 5 foot to 40 foot in the fall of solid perch, and you had a hard time with your Lowrance units, any units, trying to pick out the fish because those perch are just big enough that they look like walleyes. I mean, unless you mark, you can mark the big, big walleyes, but, I mean, the mediocre mid-range walleyes versus the mid-range perch is kind of difficult. Well, I've noticed, even this year, we went to Pike Bay, after the success we've had, you always got to go check it out, you know. And I noticed where there's no perch in there. Like, and there is perch, but it's not to the level of the first few years when I was there. And I've seen the decline over the course of the year, which comes back to, I believe it's the zebra mussels, which is cleaning the water for the zooplankton, which is having a hard time for the fry to survive with a less amount of zooplankton floating around there. And, I mean, when you get up shallow, you do mark, 15 foot or less, get up next to weeds, you mark the perch, but you just don't see that bait roaming around in that deeper water like you used to. And actually now the fish are fatter on the main lake versus pike that we saw this year and last year too. Just they're just not the fat ones there anymore because they're just the less amount of bait.
I
feel the same way the main lake. In the main lake, everywhere you went was just bait everywhere. And it's still, I'm not saying it's not an unhealthy system. It's an extremely still a healthy system. It's just not what I remember seeing it as, I guess.
Well, it's a beautiful place to go fish, too. But things are going to be changing. A lot of people that are listening probably aren't familiar with Cass Lake. And essentially, there's more than two systems. There's more.
Oh, there's tons of systems.
There's there's Cass Lake, but then it's connected by little creeks and bridges to these other backwater lakes that are absolutely deep, deeper than a lot of our lakes around here. So
gorgeous. I mean, it's just
beautiful, beautiful cabins. Yeah. Just a place to go hang out in the summer when you're supposed to be working.
Yeah, when it doesn't matter if you get your butt kicked up there.
And then there's just all kinds. I mean, there's just Andrusia, there's Kitchy. Is that all on that lake?
Yeah, you have Andrusia, you have Wolf. I think there's a little Wolf. I mean, there's so many. You can keep going up that river system in the northwest corner, and you can keep hitting lake after lake after lake.
Point that you could get lost.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was there's been a lot of success up in Wolf, and that's kind of went by the wayside because, I mean, Wolf's not very big, and you can fish Wolf pretty fast, but there was a lot of nice fish. There was never a winning weight come out of Wolf, but you're going to be in the top five. There's top five weights out of Wolf, but word got out, people started going up there, and it just, you're sharing too many fish now with too many people, so you really can't. The same with Andrusia. I mean, every inch of that, that's the beauty about that body of water. I mean, there is literally fish in 2 foot of water to 70, 80 foot of water. I mean, as long as you find the schools and you try getting, I mean, that's the thing is you can find schools of walleyes everywhere on that body of water. It's just tricking them into biting. And like the water clarity, I noticed the bite was like super on fire up in the community hole. On day two, we get up there on fishing that structure in the north end, and the bite was, I mean, we pulled up there, and there was four nets whipping. And there was like a series of like three, four humps, then a point in the north and a point in the south, and we just went to the first one that had the less boats on it. Because we had waypoints in all those spots. And I said, well, Deagle, they're all good. They've all been good. We can start in this one and then work around and just work the edges. And
would you have a Minnesota walleye chop on there, Paul?
What
was turning them on that day?
Overcast.
There.
Because the water clarity is, it's starting to, I've never seen the water clarity like they see it in June. Like, early in the year, they can see 20, 25 foot of water. Like, we're talking Great Lakes visibility.
Wow.
But now, you get a small algae bloom. When we're there, it's not near that clarity. It's pretty dirty, honestly. It is pretty dirty from what they tell me. Because I talked to the guys up there through the course here. Became good friends with Sean and Steve Weicker. I mean, all them guys up there, they're great. I mean, the community itself is great. Everybody, you ask them a fishing question, they're not going to lie to you. They're going to tell you. I mean, they're just, everyone's very friendly up there, and I've got a lot of friends up there now from that. I keep in contact, and we talk about how, what they see for, how the fishing's been going, et cetera. But the water clarity is just, it's pretty insane with them zebes in there. I tell you, another thing that's crazy that I noticed this year was crayfish. There is so many crayfish in that body of water. It is unbelievable.
Jeez, don't tell them bass boys that. They'll go up there have a bass tournament and have a crawfish feed.
that large full nightcrawler bite can always turn on quickly, too, if they get on those crawfish.
Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy?
Here's the thing is, you cannot run. You can't. I mean, when you get in them spots with the heavy, heavy, huge bunch of the crayfish, you can't run a chub. You can't run a leech. You can't run a worm because all of a sudden you feel dead weight, pull it up, there's 1 to 3 crayfish on your chub.
No kidding.
So it comes to a point now. So now when you're buying your red tails, you have to put in factor that 1 in 4 is going to get ate by a crayfish. So you got to buy way more bait than normal.
So it's more than $250 worth of minnows now.
Good thing they're cheap.
Yeah. At $1 a piece. Oh, gosh. Hey, Polly, I know a lot of people enjoy the chat. Jim Peters is on, Al Bauman,
Shane Kendall.
We're kind of enjoying the nice little tips and ideas to enjoy on our own lakes, but we're getting down to a minute, and I want everyone to know what Stephens Brothers has done to their lodge here in the last few months, put some labor into this baby and made some changes to the lodge out there north of Pier. 22 miles north of Pier is where Stephens is located. And just tell us a little bit about, in the last 30 seconds, because our goal here is to get done, what changes you've made and the pheasant outlook.
All right. Well, last year we put in a unit that sleeps 5 more people right to the north of our main lodge. And then this year I had some requests from some fishing groups and hunting groups to have a sidewalk and a fire pit. So I ended up putting in a 104-foot sidewalk, stamped concrete, with a 30-by-30 circular fire pit area, and then did some stamped vertical concrete. and put a big table on. So we have a nice area for the outside for our guys now to come out in the fall or summers, you know, for that. But yeah, so we have a lot of big updates on the lodge this year. And, you know, like the numbers, not going to lie, we're going to be kind of low in this area. We had two huge hailstorms that came through here, one that came from the northwest to the southeast, and the other one that went straight east or west to east. So our numbers are going to be lower out here in Sully County, more or less the, most of the north portion of Sully and going to the southeast of Sully. So
right. pick your spots wisely if you're heading out and coming from out of state to find a rooster. But Steffens will have pheasants to chase. There's no doubt about it because the hail just got on the edge of them, and there's always roosters to shoot there. But
they didn't get them all. We still have them. So.
And there's some geese.
And there's some geese out in that area for those that want to chase those bad boys after a while here. So anyway, Paulie, we thank you. Before we leave, I want to make sure everyone knows that they actually are adding on a massage therapist room in there also, so with an infrared sauna. So things are stepping up.
Is that legal?
Ranch. Huh?
No, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want to tell you, Paulie's not giving the massages.
Okay, perfect.
So you guys are safe to go. All righty.
Hey, we've got one announcement. We got the Glacial Lakes Walleyes Unlimited tonight, 7 o'clock at Esteline Legion Hall.
All right.
We're supposed to get that out.
Thanks a lot, Paul, for joining us.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good day.
You bet. Another week on the water, in the air. We're going to slide this baby on over to Randy Grimes.